Welcome to the Manufacturing the Future podcast, the show designed to help you future-proof your manufacturing operations. Each episode features interviews with innovative manufacturing leaders and subject matter experts who share their insights and best practices about the technology that can empower you to streamline operations, prepare your organization for what lies ahead, and continue to keep our world turning. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan, Vice President of Product Management at Epicor. Now, for today's episode. Hi, everyone, and thank you for listening. Welcome to our show where we're talking with the manufacturing leaders who are pushing the bounds of innovation and changing the world. Today, I'm very happy to be speaking with Matt Buescher, the president and CEO of Laptops Anytime. It's an innovative and award-winning laptop kiosk system. But there's more to Matt's background. He founded PowerStation, the first ever all-in-one media center kiosk, as well as spent 20 years in executive management and IT roles in the hotel and the restaurant industry. Matt, thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you, Carrie.
To get us started, can you tell us a little bit about your day-to-day and what you do at Laptops Anytime?
Sure. So I'm the president and founder and CEO of Laptops Anytime. It's a laptop checkout kiosk that goes into public libraries, universities, and private companies. And what that allows individuals to do is walk up to the kiosk, scan a badge, you know, authenticate into the system, and then loan a device out, whether it's a laptop or a charger or something to that effect, some piece of equipment, and they take it out onto the floor, or maybe they use it in their office for a little while or in a conference room, and then they bring it back. If it's a public library, they may be checking it out, you know, as a patron, use it inside the library, and then put it back in the kiosk. If it's a university student, they may check it out for the day or take it around, maybe take it to a class and bring it back. So a lot of our devices are laptops. We also do tablets and other devices as well. But we basically automate that checkout process, and the kiosk is at the heart of that.
I'm curious, what was the idea that sparked this business?
So it goes way back to 2000. I was actually in the restaurant industry and executive management, and my guys would fly out and I would say, hey, do you know your numbers today? And they go, oh, my laptop died. They don't have a charge. And I'd be like, okay, find a charger, so, you know, get a wall outlet, find something. So I started to think about this in adding power outlets in airports and having travelers be able to charge up their devices while they were gone. And that goes for games and the little gaming tablet centers that we used to have back in the day, the Nintendo games. And so I started out with power in lockers, and then I ended up checking out laptops and charging cell phones and basically automating a business center in the airports. And that's how I started with PowerPort and PowerStation. So I started that product, put my first kiosk out in 2004 in the San Francisco International Airport. And I sold that company in 2008 to the partner that I had at the time. I wanted to go a different direction. So I called up an old friend of mine, Jonathan Rudenberg, who's my partner today. And he had American Locker. So he's very familiar with lockers and that industry. And I said, look, I want to do something different. I want to check out laptops in universities and public libraries. I think there's a real need. And he agreed. And so we got together and we started Laptops Anytime. And, you know, we're now on every continent except for Antarctica. So if anybody's listening in Antarctica and wants a kiosk, I'm happy to ship it to them for free, just so I can say I'm on all seven continents. We do over 6 million checkouts a year. So, you know, the business has grown. And with that, we've grown as any other company has. We've had to bring in manufacturing in-house where we used to sub it out. But that's how it all started, and that's where it is today.
That's a great story. And I mean, what an industry that I can only imagine has recently skyrocketed. So I'd love to kind of dig into this with you. And on our show, we do like to explore the power of technology in manufacturing, you know, or digital transformation that's impacting the industry. I feel like your products themselves are actually helping others when it comes to digital transformation too. Can you tell us a bit about your journey around technology and the role that it has played at Laptops Anytime?
So early on, when we went down this path, even when I was with PowerStation, you know, when you're subbing out parts to be built into a manufacturing and you're looking at assemblies, you know, digitizing that is really the only way to go. And in the early days, we used Pro-E, and today we use SolidWorks. But one of the biggest things I think that we faced is that we would go to a manufacturer to manufacture a particular part in the assembly, and we would give them the paperwork. You know, they'd say, okay, give it to us. And they would write up the programming and all of that. And then we'd have to redline it, right? And of course, we can redline the part, but then, you know, we have to get it back from them in order to redline it because they're the ones that are making the changes. And that was really a struggle when you have some of these older manufacturers, machine shops that just their paper and their manual CNCs, or they're just getting updated in some of their CNC work. So digitizing that was a big thing. And of course, you know, then you get into how many parts do you have? And our kiosk is a little bit different in our product, is that most people build a product and they build it once. We build this product every day and we build it different every single day. So the part may change by 50 thou or 100 thou, or the part may get a little bit longer because your laptop gets a little bit bigger, or the device we're checking out is square, not rectangle. So all of those factors come into play. And that's where having the digital assembly allows you to visually see it, stretch it, and look at the device you want to check out and put it in there and say, okay, we want to make it match up to these points. And that's where we have to go digital. You have no choice at that point.
Yeah. What were some of the challenges that you faced along the way when you realized that you needed to make those changes?
Well, the biggest challenge that we had was we had a particular manufacturer that was old school, great machinist, right? But everything he did was on paper. And we're moving into the digital point and we're trying to digitize ourselves, and they're not digital, you know, and they're not using some of the most updated tools. So you can't just send them a file, right? You have to go out there and you talk to them, work with them, you drop off, you know, papers and all that. And then on top of that, doing the red line. But the other process was me personally learning the tool and finding the people that has this leading edge software is coming out to run SolidWorks and all the newer stuff. You have a tendency to get with the more experienced generation, I'll say it that way, that are old school and they don't want to learn the new school, but they have the experience and they have the know-how and you need them. And then you have the younger generation who's really adept at using the tools, right? And they're ready to go and they're like, yeah, just do this. And it's like, well, so you have these two different employee subsets, basically, you know, team member subsets that you're having to try to bring together. And it's kind of like Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, I could totally see that. Yeah, you know? That's definitely challenging. And like, how do you balance the two? Did you do any kind of special training programs or?
Yeah, you know, and myself, I went through the training because, you know, as an executive, although I may not be the designer on the vision, but I'm not actually drawing the part out, right? But I needed to know the tools and how to use the tools so that I could explain it to people in a way that matched up with them. And then also, I could then say, okay, well, now I have to have a vision for digitizing, right? And if you don't know the tools, then how are you supposed to have a vision on how to bring all these digital parts into play in these assemblies, and how do you use them properly, and what are the latest tools? So I find myself actually every single day studying new ways to bring us into the next era of that, right? So what can I do differently? What are the tools? How are they changing? How can we take advantage of those new processes? How can we put them in procedures? You know, how can we bring all of that together and actually make it efficient for the group? And that's kind of what I do every day.
Yeah. And like you said, I mean, it's not just about the technology and bringing the technology, but then it has so much impact on the people and the training. You briefly mentioned changes in your manufacturing process itself. Could you talk a little bit about where Laptops Anytime is located and maybe some of the processes that you had to adapt or evolve or change over the years and why?
Sure. So we are located in Hayward, California, in the heart of the Bay Area, Silicon Valley, which is a great place to live. Our corporate headquarters is out of Dallas, Texas. I run all of operations here in Hayward. And one of the things that we did, as any small group, any small business starts out building a product, they sub everything out. And that goes from your manufacturing of your parts to assembly. You start out small, right? So I was fortunate enough to find good partners that were able to help me with that. But as we grew and we needed to continue to grow and lower our cost, we needed to start to claw back some of those items. So the first thing we clawed back was assembly. That's the easiest, right? We get a building, bring a couple of people in, we'll assemble. The second part and the digital transformation that we were taking place started right then and there, right? Because we have to have digital versions of the assembly. We have to be able to bring them up, show them up on a screen so that the assemblers can go from part to part to part, put it together. And that helped because our assembly process is the same. Our kiosk is a laptop checkout kiosk. What's different is the laptop device, and that changes every day, right? Every day a new laptop comes out. Every day somebody comes to me and says, hey, we want to check out this device. It's a Dell, whatever, or it's an HP. Okay, fine. So we have to be able to swap out parts digitally and bring back that assembly diagram and say, okay, here's how you assemble. It's the same way, just a different part number and a different part. So we started to claw back assembly, and then we brought in manufacturing. That was a whole nother ballgame. I had had some CNC experience because I had put myself involved with the manufacturers. And so I learned from them early on as an executive. Okay, oh, I didn't know there's three ops to a part or something. So I taught myself to be a machinist so that I could talk to them in their language. I could converse with them and come up with new ideas, make new suggestions, and learn those tools that everybody was starting to use. So I started to do that. And we brought in manufacturing in-house. So that means we brought our own CNC machines in. And having those parts already digitized and having the knowledge, I was able to bring in people who have some manufacturing skills and maybe they have some CNC skills, but they don't have to be at the best of what they're at. And that really helped. If I had not had that, if I had not taught myself and pushed myself to learn those tools, I would not have been able to bring in that CNC shop and start with two machines and then move to four. And now we have automation involved in those machines. We actually have robotic loaders that helps out the process as well. So we do a lot of, we call lights out manufacturing. So we've continued to grow, and that's because I bring in people and I challenge them to, you know, yeah, that's the old way of doing it, or that's the way you were doing it, but how can we do it better? And what tools can we bring in that can help us? And I'm a big opponent of that, right? My guys and ladies always talk about, well, it's a one-time charge. And if it's a one-time charge, I don't care, right? Because that's going to, if it's a tool that comes in, it's going to help us every day later on down the line, then that's what it is. That's what we do. So bringing in all of the tools that we can do, we're now working on a media wiki, which is our own wiki server in-house that allows us to see parts, allows our team to go in and look up old builds and see that. And again, digitizing, if we didn't have that, we wouldn't be able to be in that boat. So, and do
incredible.
What we're doing today.
Can I ask you to reflect a bit on how operations looks today versus how it looked maybe a couple of years ago or even longer?
Yeah.
Because the things that you're talking about, the automation, the lights out manufacturing, the additional visibility, the team that you have in place now, I could imagine it's very different. What does it look like now that you've gone through such change? And I know there's a lot more change on the horizon, especially like you're saying, there are new laptops in different shapes, all kinds every day. Yeah. But yeah, how does it look today? What is that difference?
Yeah. So when I look back 3 years ago, and I have a saying every year at the end of our year, we want to be a different company today than we were last year. And every year I say the same thing. We have to be a different company than we were last year. And we've done that. When we brought in assembly 3 years ago, 4 years ago, we weren't even touching assembly. We had other people doing that. So we had to train our own people. We had to bring in our own processes because although I think they had great processes, they weren't up to what we call our standards are. So we've added a lot more processes today. We've obviously, we have a lot more people, but we have a lot more procedures, how we do things. We continue to grow our footprint as far as square footage wise every year. And that's changed. And that just in that, I think is also different because when you go to having managers who are used to being on the floor and they're right there in the thick of things, it's easy for them to manage. And it's much different when you have two buildings and you're trying to go back and forth. You have assembly separated. And so the last year we've done is we've actually moved all of our CNC machines into the other half of the building. And we brought it all in-house. had to separate, move the sound out because sound gets a little noisy, but we've soundproofed the CNC side of that. And our managers are now easier. And I'm a big opponent. We don't have offices. I'm a big opponent of being on the floor where you're at, but I'm also a big opponent of walking. I learned that early on from my restaurant days. You have to walk. You have to go from station to station to station to station. And you have to do that constantly. And it's not that you're micromanaging. It's that you're either cheering somebody on or you're calling attention to a procedure, to a manager that's not being followed, or you yourself are seeing a procedure that you thought was going to work and it's not working, right? A process that maybe this is not functional, right? So I dreamed it up, but, you know, putting it into play, it's just not working. So over the last couple of years, we have just honed that skill in better and better and better. And I'm not a big person of having, let's have a weekly meeting, right? I'm more on, let's meet on the floor at the site where the issue is. Let's try to solve it. If not, let's go in the conference room and let's solve it there. And then let's go back out and put the procedures and the new policy or the new process in place. So that's really the big change that we've gone through in the last couple of years.
That's interesting. And I could see how that hands-on experience really helps to drive the team, your own, you know, knowledge of how everything is working. And then you can inspire the team, as it sounds like you do, especially thinking about how you're going to change, you know, next time. You mentioned how, you know, just like walking, right, from your restaurant and hospitality industry days. I'm curious, can you talk a little bit more about how that time that you spent in the industry influences you today in manufacturing?
Sure. I've got most of my executive training through the hospitality industry and the restaurant industry. I started early on as a kid. I started at McDonald's. And one of the things that I learned from that experience is processes and procedures. They're huge on that and huge on training. And so I was brought into what I would say the largest corporate training environment that I've ever seen. And then as I moved throughout the different restaurant institutions, you know, and taking the management classes, which they're all very big on, going through that. I'm not professionally skilled as far as school goes. I didn't go to college, but these executive management courses that the hospitality puts you through and the experiences you learn going through that on how to manage people, how to train people, how to give them the ability to succeed, you know, coach them, all of those skills helped me. And then further, as I got into it, I learned how to develop managers and how to manage managers. And that's, you know, and as executive, that's probably my biggest role, right? Is to challenge the leads and the managers that we have today to do better, to do, you know, can you do something different? How can we make this process better? And to empower them to go out and get that done. And like I said, I'm not a micromanager. I won't tell you how to do it. I'll just say, it just seems like we could do this better, you know, and we'll talk about it. And that's where a lot of great ideas come from. But yeah, my early roles in the restaurant industry, in the hotel industry, really helped me to hone those skills in and to be a better leader than I would have been.
This is a really inspiring story. And I hope, you know, for folks who are listening in and thinking about getting into the manufacturing industry, advancing within the manufacturing industry, I'm sure they're learning from you right now. And as a matter of fact, if you have other advice that you would pass on to perhaps other entrepreneurs, other founders of organizations, or, you know, maybe manufacturing leaders that are looking to further their maybe own career, but as well as how their companies could embrace technology in new and different ways to build growth, to inspire their employees, what advice would you give?
Well, don't quit. That's first and foremost. No matter how hard it gets, you know, it seems like it's all peaches and cream, probably the way I describe it. But we've had a lot of challenges, from people challenges to cash flow challenges to everything that you would think of as a small business goes through. And then you have to kind of hunker down and get the hard work done. So the first things I would say is, if you are an entrepreneur, don't take somebody's advice just on its own merit. Challenge it, think about it, and do your own research, right? Because at the end of the day, nobody knows the business and the product better than you do. right? So the more you can learn in each aspect of the industry, whether it's from our business, from manufacturing to management to processes, every little detail it is, you don't have to do the job better than everybody else. You just have to know the job that needs to get done so that you can make the decision that's best for your product and your environment. And lastly, try to be a different company than you were today, right? So every year, I like to write out my plan of what I want to get done this year, you know, and it doesn't always come true, that's for sure. I don't always get everything done that I want to get done. But at the end of the year, I want to be a different company than I was the year before. And that's how you're going to grow and you're going to continue to grow, right? So challenge yourself. It's a lot of long days because you're an executive. You're doing the executive side. I often go home and spend a couple hours doing what I would call the worker side, right? The laborer side. What, looking at the processes, or is it a tool that I want to learn? You know, is it, do I want to learn more about SolidWorks? Am I looking at a PDM? Is there a, you know, like I learned MediaWiki. I wanted to learn what that was about and how do I set that up so I could teach my people and say, okay, this is a tool we can use. So the more I know about the tools, I tend to not make as many mistakes now because I've learned the tool. And sometimes you learn a tool and you say, nah, that's not going to work for us because you know what it's about. Other times you learn a tool and you say, okay, that's going to work for us. But now you got to bring in your team and say, okay, how can we make this work? And there's always pushback, right? It's, oh, it's a new thing. Oh, we got to do this, right? And it's just getting them motivated, getting them your vision, and then allowing them some time to kind of process, because the last thing you want to do is just ram something down and it not really work, right? So get them to have buy-in. Let them explore the tool themselves and take the time that you did to learn the tool and to say, oh yeah, okay, I think this can work now, right? And you'll get better feedback from that. You'll get better buy-in and you'll get better acceptance. You'll find they'll come up with better procedures or better processes to use the tool. So that's my 5 minute spiel on how to be a better entrepreneur.
That's great. And I see how you empower people across your organization. And just as you believe in empowering people, you're empowering yourself through the knowledge that you're gaining as you're doing that self-work, doing that research. And so I'd like to know, what is next for Laptops Anytime? I mean, as you're thinking about being a different company and what comes next, maybe in the next couple of years as well, like where do you see, especially with the industry challenges that you've seen? I mean, I can only imagine the supply chain in your world. What is next for you?
Yeah. So a couple of things. For us, our big focus this next year is going to be on ISO. So as a company, we now have enough stuff, I think, in place and procedures in place. We're going to try to do all of our ISO certifications. And that's going to be a big challenge for the team. With regards to, you know, raw material and manufacturing, that's we've been fortunate enough to be able to purchase ahead of time. That next step will be making sure we're not overbuying, obviously, right? Because that can happen as well. And then in the future, my dream is to have a digital twin. So I don't know if anybody knows what digital twins are out there, but it's basically, it's your product in a digital format. You're assembling a digital format. And our kiosk has a lot of hardware and software and firmware items that work together. So putting that all together in a digital environment and having a digital twin of the kiosk and running simulations on what's out there, and then bringing some AI in to be able to make it an easier process to go from one laptop to another, right? That's always a challenge, that prototyping process, is to speed that prototyping process up. Today, it's 2 weeks to prototype a device. Used to be 4 weeks, 8 weeks to prototype a device. Today, we can prototype a device in 2 weeks. I want to drop that down to days. So ISO 9000 this year, this 2023, and maybe Digital Twin 2024. So that's nice. What we're looking forward to.
That's really exciting. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what's coming next for you and for Laptops Anytime. This is such a great conversation. Thank you so much. As we are wrapping up, can you share with us, where can people go to learn more, maybe about you or to connect with you and to learn more about Laptops Anytime?
So laptopsanytime.com is our website. You can go there. You can see all the different products. We are a custom manufacturer, so we can basically automate any process. People come to us all the time and say, does this work? I'm happy to consult with people who, you know, may have opportunities out there that they're looking at in either in the kiosk industry or in the manufacturing industry, and they're looking for that. You know, so they can reach me there at laptopsanytime.com. It's, you can get to my website there and connect to me from there. And yeah, we're even looking forward to, you know, doing our own job shop. I think our CNC machines are doing so well that, you know, we might be able to produce parts for other people. So that's another opportunity for us. And, you know, if you're looking for that, you can give us a buzz as well. But we're here, we're a custom manufacturer, and we'd love to talk to you about automating any process you have.
Excellent. Well, this is really exciting. And it looks like the future is very bright for you and for your organization and for everyone within your ecosystem and your customers working with you. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Karen.
Well, thanks again to Matt Buescher, the president and CEO of Laptops Anytime. Really appreciate the conversation.
Thank you for listening to Manufacturing the Future, brought to you by Epicor. For the latest episodes, search for the show on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure to subscribe to get notified when a new episode is released. To learn more about Epicor, visit epicor.com.